think otherwise are guilty of arrogant overconfidence. Such hubris only deepens their condemnation. Whether they want to face it honestly or not, their plight is dark, dismal, and desperate. No human religion offers a good answer. Even the inspired law of God is powerless to redeem sinners. It merely reveals their sin and condemns them for it. This is precisely what makes Paul's universal guilty verdict so devastating. By the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in God's sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Romans chapter 3, verse 20. That verse is the culmination of Paul's whole argument about the devastating effects of sin. He has brought his readers to a point where they ought to be asking the same urgent question Job kept raising. Who then can be saved? It is the same question the disciples raised after Jesus' encounter with the rich young ruler. Who then can be saved? Matthew chapter 19, verse 25, Mark chapter 10, verse 26, and Luke chapter 18, verse 26. Everything we've seen so far in Paul's long discussion of humanity's sin problem would seem to make redemption an utter impossibility. And from the sinner's point of view, that is precisely the case. Jesus' answer to the disciples' question began by acknowledging the hopelessness of the sinner's plight. With men, this is impossible. Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. But our Lord continued, with God, all things are possible. Paul says the same thing in a similar way in Romans chapter 3. After his detailed discourse on the problem of sin, culminating in that resounding declaration about the hopelessness of the human dilemma, the apostle suddenly shifts both tone and direction in verse 21. But now, the ugliness of those opening three chapters instantly gives way to hope. Just when we reach the point where it seems as if nothing helpful or encouraging could ever appear on such a bleak horizon, Paul takes a sudden turn, and we arrive at the reason the gospel is such good news. But now, the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed. Verse 21. Take some time to digest every phrase in that profound statement. This is about God's perfect righteousness, in contrast to the filthy rags of our own paltry and sin-stained works. It is a righteousness manifested apart from the law, meaning it's something other than a simple restatement of the law's commandments. And it's not merely the legal justice that is woven into the law, the righteousness that requires full retribution for our sin. If there had been a law given, which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. Galatians chapter 3, verse 21. But the law can neither make us righteous nor give us life. The law is necessary to teach us what righteousness is, but it offers no help for sinners. It demands our full compliance. It condemns our disobedience, but it cannot make us righteous. The gospel reveals a righteousness apart from the law that accomplishes the redemption of sinners. Under the terms of the law itself, redemption for sinners would seem impossible. But Paul is describing an amazing aspect of divine righteousness that accrues to the benefit, rather than the condemnation, of every believer. This was strongly suggested in the Old Testament, in texts like Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, Psalm 32, verses 1 through 2, and Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10. Now it is fully unveiled in the gospel. It is the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. Romans chapter 3, verse 22. Notice that this righteousness comes down to us. It is not something we offer up to God. This righteousness is imputed, credited to the account of, to every sinner who renounces sin and trusts Christ as Savior. We know for a fact that's what Paul has in mind, because a few verses after this, he quotes Psalm 32, where David describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works.